Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello friends, this week we are going to begin a study on lessons from the life of Jonah. We're going to study the book of Jonah found in the Old Testament, and this wonderful and amazing story has, for so many years, made great material for childhood Bible story reading, but its compelling truth is worthy of every adult's attention. Jonah lived during the reign of King Jeroboam II of Israel, approximately 782 to 753 years before the birth of Christ, and most likely he succeeded the prophet Elisha. Legend has it that he was the son of the widow of Zarephath that Elijah raised from the dead in 1 Kings chapter 17. In the very first verse of the book of Jonah, we find God commissioning Jonah to preach to the heathen city of Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria. Jonah 1, verse 1 reads, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.'" This is the only place in all of the Old Testament where God sends one of his prophets to warn a Gentile city of impending judgment from God. Bible scholars have referred to this book of the Bible as the missionary book of the Old Testament, but Jonah was not interested in becoming God's first missionary to the Gentiles. He was well aware of the Assyrians' reputation for harsh cruelty to prisoners, as well as their history of oppression against his country, the nation of Israel. Jonah also knew of God's mercy in the face of a repentant people, and without a doubt, he did not want to have anything to do with seeing his enemies repent, receive God's mercy, and then be spared the destruction that Jonah felt they had long deserved. So Jonah became a very disobedient servant of God. Jonah was told to go to the certain city called Nineveh, which translated from the Hebrew actually means offspring of ease. Jonah was supposed to go and preach to the offspring of ease. Nineveh was a very well-developed city. It had 100-foot walls surrounding the entire city, which historians from the first century estimate was a 60-mile circumference around the city of Nineveh, quite a large city. And the wall, 100-foot high, was so wide that three chariots could run side by side across the top of it. It was filled with palaces and gardens and actually had three suburbs. So the statement in Jonah 1:1 that it was a great city was certainly accurate. But Jonah was not excited about God's assignment for him. He knew what God's will was, but it literally and directly crossed his will. Many people face that same situation with the Lord when God's will directly crosses our will, and our will is not in agreement with the will of God. Jonah responded to this revelation of God's will for his life by running away. In verse 3, it says, "But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." So he went down to Joppa, found a ship that was going to Tarshish, paid a fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah lived in a town that was about 3 miles north of Nazareth called Gath-Hepher. And he was instructed by God to go 500 miles to the northeast of his hometown to the city of Nineveh, which would be located in modern-day Iraq. But instead, Jonah went in the opposite direction. He headed for Tarshish, which was about 2,000 miles to the west in modern-day Spain. Jonah was, in essence, running from God. Have you ever known someone that knew exactly what God wanted him to do, and yet he ran in the opposite direction? If so, you may observe that person's life running parallel to Jonah's experience. As soon as Jonah decided to disobey God, his life headed in a singular direction, down. We see in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, it says he went down to Joppa, and then he went down into the ship, and it wasn't long before he was down in the whale's belly. In verse 4, it says, "The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down below into the hold of the ship, lain down and had fallen asleep. So the captain approached him and said, 'How is it you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us, so we will not perish.' Each man said to his mate, 'Come, let us cast lots, so we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?' He said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.' Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, 'How could you do this?' For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them." Jonah was absolutely running from God, and things were going in a downward spiral. He hit a storm that was so harsh it threatened to break up the ship. The interesting thing to note about this story is that Jonah was headed for a city called Tarshish. It was the furthest Phoenician seaport that was known at that time. And the word Tarshish means breaking, and it means she will cause poverty or she will shatter. And it also means hard. Jonah was headed for hard times, and he didn't even know it. He was headed for a breaking, and he didn't realize he'd paid the fare to get there. And that's exactly what Jonah found out when this storm came upon the ship, and the sailors discovered that it was Jonah's fault that this entire event had even occurred. In verse 11 of Jonah chapter 1, the sailors said to Jonah, "What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?" For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. He said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you." And then in verse 15, it says, "So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging." Verse 17 tells us, "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights." When God's will crosses our will, we have one of two choices. We can do as Jonah did and run away, try to sleep, hope it would go away, or like the little child who didn't like the parent's direction, stuck his fingers in his ears and said, "I can't hear you." That will not make God's will go away from your life. The reality is, when you run from God and the known will of God, you will find yourself like Jonah going down, down, down. Things will not get easier for you. On the contrary, you will be headed for the land of breaking, just like Jonah was headed for the land of Tarshish. When your will and God's will cross, you have this option: to do as Jonah did or to submit to the will of God. You may look at what God has asked you to do and think, I don't want to do that. But God's calling to you and asking you to submit to His will. And you can ask God to give you a heart for His will, His eyes for the people or the assignment that He has called you to. And secondly, you can by faith, meaning trusting God for His grace and His strength, step out in obedience. When God's will crosses your will, you can run or you can submit and you can ask God for His help and He will help you. He'll give you grace to do it. He'll give you a heart for it. He'll give you strength to be obedient. And you'll find out that doing things God's way will be a lot more pleasant and a lot easier than running from God's will as Jonah did. This is Rita Langland encouraging you to have a victorious week. Hi, this is Rita Langland inviting you to consider becoming a partner with Hidden with Christ Ministries. Our partners are known as supply keepers. A supply keeper is one who helps to supply the temporal needs of a ministry that preaches the gospel over the radio waves around the world. Paul said about his own financial supporters that they were partakers of God's grace through partnership with him in the gospel. Would you like to be a partaker of God's grace by partnering with us to keep Keys to Victorious Christian Living on the air in your area? Then please call us at 1-866-HE-HEALS and ask for a supply keeper packet. We look forward to hearing from you. Call us at 1-866-HE-HEALS.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.